This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Federal authorities say 27 alleged members of the Venezuelan gang Tren de Agua were among the more than 150 people detained during a massive multi-agency raid last Sunday near San Pedro and Bassey Road. The Department of Homeland Security said the sweep involved 14 state, local, and federal agencies, including ICE, DHS, FBI. Agents seized a small amount of cocaine, three firearms, about $350,000 in cash. DHS said the club that was targeted was known to be frequented by members of Tren de Agua, a Venezuelan gang that has been the focus of the Trump administration's intensified immigration enforcement. There have been a lot of questions about this raid, about how local people who were just there getting tacos got swept up into this dragnet. San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones has been asking for more information and greater transparency about these federal ICE raids happening in San Antonio, just like this one. And Mayor Jones now joins us. Mayor Jones, welcome back to The Source.
Hi, good to be with you.
So what questions do you have about this raid?
Well, first and foremost, very basic question I think a lot of folks in our community have is, look, those folks that are American citizens that don't have a criminal record, for example, have they been released? Lots of questions in our community about the fate of those folks that fall into that category. And I think it's important as we ask these questions that, again, we are doing so to balance both public safety and public trust. We have 100,000 undocumented folks in our community. It's important that we take steps to make sure that people understand what's going on to the extent, you know, they're willing to share. And that's a key point here. I know, there's frustration in the community because folks understand what's happening here, but they can also look at and see what's happening across the country. So, I want to make sure folks understand we are asking questions, and certainly we await those answers. The answers up until this point have been, due to ongoing investigations, they're not willing to share much. That seems to be the response not only to myself as well as to other elected officials at the federal level that have asked similar questions. So we continue to ask these questions and certainly await the answers. One of the questions I also asked about is to better understand the way forward of the task force that was recently established. It looks like that'll be based here out of San Antonio. So again, balancing public safety and public trust is what we are looking to do, and that starts with transparency.
And so you have sent a statement, mm-hmm. you've made outreach, mm-hmm. You can tell us what you're doing, how can we work together to protect public safety in San Antonio, and not a lot back.
This was sent the latter half of last week, so we have not received anything in response at this point. But we look forward to those conversations and an open dialogue.
Right. So given this location of the raid within San Antonio, what do you think this has for, what implications are there for the city's strategies? Like this little business that was happening right there, people are afraid now to even go to places like that. What do you want people in San Antonio to know about how at risk they are for being swept up into a multi-agency federal Homeland Security raid just for going about their business?
Well, and this is why it's really important that we have an open dialogue with our federal partners here to ensure that there isn't, any unnecessary fear. We look forward to, again, sharing the information that we get and making sure that folks feel safe in our community. They feel like they can live their lives. Nobody, again, is needlessly targeted. And that's why, again, answers to these questions in the interest of public safety and public trust are so important. And we really need those answers to ensure that we ensure our entire community is as safe as possible.
Let's go to a caller. Let's go to Ben. And Ben, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Just hypothetically, the Jimenez dinner, what's the possibility of that being raided, And I really appreciate your work, Mayor. Thank you.
All right, that's not pleasant to think about. Ben, thank you for that. The possible, we have our annual Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving Feast of Sharing that we have here in San Antonio. A lot of people attend that. It's not a citizenship issue. Are there concerns?
Well, Ben, thanks for the question. We at this point would hope that our federal partners would make us aware of anything and certainly informed by actual risks of any, you know, criminal activity. The Jimenez dinner, I'm very thankful for, you know, what the family does. They are expecting to feed more families this year than they traditionally do, again, just given the economic environment. At this point, we don't have any indication of, you know, federal operations around there. If something were to change, again, we'd want to be as transparent as possible with the community, especially on such an event as that.
So you have police already there. There's already security. This is not a criminal enterprise. This is not an illegal after-hours nightclub. There would be no reason to go there other than to target people, who are trying to just celebrate an American holiday with each other. So it's like, hopefully nothing like that will happen. So cross our fingers.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So let me ask you, we're seeing progress at the Alamo. Mm. They recently cut the ribbon on the new promenade. What are your thoughts about how things are going at the Alamo, concerns that you have about whether or not it's being politicized?
Well, that ribbon cutting for the completed promenade is, a significant event. I'm quite thankful, obviously, for Dr. Rogers' work that got us to that point, even though she is no longer there. But I think it's important. This battle site, which is not only, important historically, but also economically, you and I have talked about that. And certainly I want to make sure that we are all committed to the vision and guiding principles that were originally signed up to in 2015. And it speaks to, again, where we're going, which is, an inclusive site, as well as how we get there, which is, no one was there with an iPhone 17 recording every single thing that was going on. So we've got to balance, and the guiding principles rightly point to this, balance historical context with folklore, with myth, et cetera. So we want to make sure that we are as intellectually honest with that site as possible. We don't need this kind of Disneyland version of the Alamo, which may actually hurt tourism. So adhering to the guiding principles, I think, is really important. And again, look forward to upholding my end on that.
833-877-8255 if you've got a question or a comment for Mayor Jones. So right now we're having a controversy. I'm going to ask about your previous life and when you were as a service member in the military. We've had Democratic representatives. They released a video on social media pleading with service members and intelligence officers to reject illegal orders amid ongoing U.S. military strikes in Venezuela. So what are your thoughts about the effort being able to, in the military, refuse illegal orders, and then we're having the White House threatening to prosecute or these lawmakers for that? What are your thoughts?
Well, look, I think the reason that there is such high trust in our military is because of the oath that those men and women take to the Constitution. On the way over here, I just saw it happened to be a Republican lawmaker, but she was talking about the oath that service members take to the president, and that is not correct. It is, in fact, to the Constitution. I've taken it several times myself, and certainly, if there is question about the legality of an order, it's important that is questioned. Look, I think as concerning, I just read this. I guess it was on CNN. It was the potential recall of Senator Kelly to active duty, who's since retired, Navy captain, astronaut, recalling him to stand for a court-martial. Look, I think the politicization of the military is extremely, extremely dangerous. I mean, that's why the entire, institution is set up with civilian leadership. The politicization on top of, I for the politicization on top of, frankly, the steps to, frankly, marginalize certain communities within the military, I think is quite dangerous. I think it's important that we all recognize, again, that the oath is to the Constitution, and certainly I know our good men and women serving would do that.
So they want to recall him to active duty as on orders of the defense secretary, and he served as a fighter pilot before becoming an astronaut, mm-hmm. retired as captain. Mm-hmm. But is that, could they recall you? If you do something that ticks off the White House, could they recall you and court-martial you?
Well, I mean, I think, look, there is certainly those that are interpreting the law are certainly taking some liberties here. I think we are in some pretty unprecedented times, which is why you've heard me in a number of instances demonstrate caution and pragmatism, because it's, you know, we are in some uncharted waters here in a number of ways, and it's really important.
I noticed you use guarded language, not hyperbolic, over-the-top language, plain speaking, but not fire-breathing language, and that's deliberate.
Correct.
That's who you are.
Yeah, that is who I am, because in large part also, look, my comments and my actions are not exclusive to myself, right? That could mean something for my community, and so I'm very, very cognizant of that in all ways.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. The Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
A donation comes in many forms: a sustaining membership, a one-time gift, even a home, land, or commercial property. Donating property is a great way to give back, and you may even claim a tax deduction. Get the process started today. Call 844-277-HOME or visit tpr.careasy.org/real-estate-donation.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. She's taking your questions and calls. The number is 833-877-8255. In 2028, we're supposed to start playing baseball downtown. But there's a lot that has not happened in that project. We don't have a design. We don't really have an agreement with the city and the county, not a real agreement. What needs to happen in order to meet this deadline for a Missions downtown ballpark?
Yeah, look, I, like a lot of folks, I'm excited about having a baseball stadium downtown. But you're right, we are a little bit delayed in where we need to be when you look at that term sheet, which itself is not yet final. It's non-binding. And as I understand, part of the reason that we're a little bit off is based on some of the development that is supposed to be guaranteed as part of that has not yet come to fruition, right? So there's a little bit of a delay there because, as we all know, the economy has a say. And so I think when we look at that, it's an important lesson as we look at also the basketball arena, because, again, they are designed with the same financial structure in mind, which is guaranteed development before bonds are issued, revenue bonds are issued, rather. But I want to take a step back, though, right, which is how do we think about the downtown that we want and then that we deserve, of which the baseball stadium is a piece and of which the basketball arena would be a piece as well. And so this, I mean, when we do some rough math here, between those two things and the associated infrastructure, that's $1.4 billion of public money. And so this is our generational investment, which is why I think we have to think about, well, not only does it public money, but we also have to think about the growth that is coming, right? We're going to see a city the size of Austin join us in this area by 2050. So we need to plan for that. I'll also say that one of the things I think about are, I have routine engagements with business leaders, business community members, and they talk about the challenge they have with recruiting college grads to the city. And it's always kind of that quality of life factor, right? It's always they'd prefer to live in Austin or what have you. So I think when we think about a livable slash affordable downtown, what that looks like in terms of housing at all levels, right? But we also know there's a great need for affordable housing. When we think about green spaces, when we talk about walkability, and certainly basic services that you would want when there's many more residents down there, now is the time to be thinking about that, and then think about these projects in the context of what we want. So we're not just reactive to what we're being offered, but rather we are cognizant of where we're going and frankly, what our community wants and deserves. So I think it's really important we have a master plan that helps guide those discussions, not just figuring out kind of do we pay for this or how do we pay for that. That's a piece of it, but let's be bold, let's be visionary, and let's get the downtown we want and deserve.
Let's go to Bill. Bill on the phones, and Bill, you're on the air.
Thank you. Real quick question or thought. I get the impression that the San Antonio Express News and some of these other media outlets are purposely anti or working against Mayor Jones. Every article I've read, or just about every article I've read, in regards to Project Marvel, her comment, you know, she was already always portrayed in a negative light. And I'm just wondering if I'm the one that gets that feeling, because my thought is, man, the press needs to give us the facts, okay, not opinions. We're trying to get stuff through the facts. So I'd like to know her thoughts about that.
All right, Bill, thank you for that question, that call. And so, Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones, do you think you're swimming in against some hostile current there?
You trying to get me in trouble here? look, I learned a long time ago, I can only control what I do, right? And I will continue doing what I think the people deserve, which is asking the tough questions and driving a discussion that I think is worthy of the people's time and certainly of this significant, this generational investment. And so, you know, I know some folks don't like that approach, and I understand that it is, frankly, unprecedented in many ways. But that doesn't mean that's not what our community deserves. So I'll keep doing what I need to do to make sure the people of San Antonio are well served.
Well, I mean, you're here today. You're taking calls.
Yeah.
That's, you never know what's going to pop up.
Not these filtered. Yeah, that's right. This is fun. You know what else I enjoy? My town halls. My town halls, I don't filter questions, right? It's whoever raises their hand, I call on them. And, you know, I am thankful for, I get good feedback and positive feedback. I just, as you know, a reminder on the development stuff downtown, I think 4-1 is my positive feedback on that. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, irrespective of what the vote is on the dais, I think the election results themselves showed that we have to give something, we have to give folks a little bit more to get excited about. And I think a revitalized downtown that is livable, that is affordable, that allows us to incorporate the lessons learned from Austin, for example. You should not have to be a millionaire to live in downtown. But if we don't get this right, if we're not deliberately planning against that, then that may be where we go. So that's why I really am encouraging, you know, my colleagues to be thoughtful. And yeah, I think it's important to not just look at how things have been done in San Antonio, but look at what other communities are doing. Let's also not be silly in some of these arguments, right? When people are like, well, revenue sharing is going to scare companies away. Really? Do you have any data that supports that? Probably not, because it's not based on anything. And so our community, you know, let's also look at Dallas. Look at Dallas. How is Dallas a community that is smaller than us, yet their budget is 20% larger than ours, which means their folks are getting 20% more services, I would argue. And so if we don't have new revenue streams, no one wants to raise property taxes, sales tax, you know, CPS revenue, they're going to be what they are. So if we don't have new revenue streams and we still have needs in our community, then we have to be creative. And so how do we meet those needs, and how can we think about where that money would go? Where could revenue sharing go? To me, that goes to seniors centers, that goes to increasing the supply of childcare, early childhood education, that goes to, you know, potentially doing the other things that we've talked about, which is helping people with home ownership. I mean, lots and lots of opportunities if we have the courage to ask for those kinds of things.
Let's go to another caller, Claire. And Claire, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the question I have for you, Mayor, and thank you for being on the program today, is we're talking about a lot of what if we did this? What if we did that? What if we did this? Where is the strategic planning in that? And clearly it sounds like the city needs it regardless, based on what you've been sharing. What specifically have you been doing to put us on that path and start that planning?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. So I have asked, I have asked that we, with my council colleagues, is, hey, what about a strategic plan? I mean, you heard me, if you saw the San Antonio Express News article, I have raised that, because then we can, if we think that that's something that we deserve and that's something that we should have, then let's put an RFP out for that. And let's get some ideas. I'm not an urban planner, and I don't pretend to be, but I do recognize the opportunity that we have before us. So, you know, let's not just have an analysis about the costs of doing, you know, X, Y, or Z, but rather, no, what is our overarching master plan for downtown? I think you get some ideas via an RFP. And then you negotiate from there and you build toward that. So, asking for that, engaging my colleagues in that kind of conversation, and making sure, you know, if they're, I'd like to have support for that. I can't do things unilaterally, I think, as you well know. And so putting the idea out there, you know, forcing the conversation, engaging and getting some public input, I think those are the initial steps to get to where we need to be.
A recent study ranked San Antonio as the 7th deadliest city in the nation for pedestrians. Mm-hmm. And there's a new initiative from the city's transportation department looking at some of these high injury corridors that we have for pedestrians, mm-hmm. looking at Zarzamora Street, mm-hmm. W.W. White Road, mm-hmm. and Fredericksburg Road, mm-hmm. as a place that we really have got to figure out how do we make these places mm-hmm. safer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, does that fit into what you're talking about, strategy, identifying needs, looking for opportunities to make things better?
Certainly. I think Pleasanton's on there. Marbach is also on there. I think, look, walkability, right? How do we think about those? I hear lots about from folks that like to for increased connectivity, to be able to bike areas. And so it looks that requires us, you know, understanding certainly where the risks are, but now how do we best mitigate those, right? What are the physical barriers, for example? What are the potential traffic related issues that we also might need to address as a result of that? But, you know, certainly we want to make sure that those getting to where they need to be, and especially around schools, are as safe as they can possibly be.
So Thanksgiving is coming up. We're going to see you at the Turkey Trot.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm going to be at the 5K Turkey Trot, and I'm going to encourage y'all, if you haven't signed up, please do so, because all the money that the food bank raises as part of that run is going to go and help them buy more turkeys to put food on people's plates. So, and we also, unfortunately, know there's a great need right now, especially with, you know, what we've seen and the freeze, that snap and freeze benefits. Thankfully, that's over. But again, we just know folks are really having a hard time. So I'll be at the 5K, and of course, it makes me feel less guilty when I have my third helping of stuffing, but I'll be there. I will also I'll be at the Jimenez dinner, and then looking forward to doing the river parade the following day. But let me tell you what I'm most thankful for. I am most thankful we've got thousands of City of San Antonio employees that do great work every single day. Last week I had breakfast with Melvin Fitzgerald, who has worked for the city for 50 years. I'm thankful for folks like him day in, day out, that serve our city so well.
All right, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, see you at the Turkey Trot. You don't have to be a runner. You can walk it and just hang out. It is a good hang. So thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.